Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products, Foley's Crane Service. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Jeff.
How do you follow a Top Gun pilot, dude?
Pretty difficult.
Yeah, you need a call sign.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Woody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
There we go. So two call sign guys in a row here now this morning.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, Ted.
Thank you.
We saw it was quite the flyover. That was really something. Were you downtown? You were, your business was part of the parade. Were you actually down there?
I was not downtown. I was over by the chamber. But
okay.
Close enough.
Yeah, you
I definitely saw it. So
heard it then.
Yeah, heard it. Kind of gave me the chills, you know, got goosebumps on the arms on it. It was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome to see.
Just talking about it, so you're a Tomahawk boy from way back, and so you've been doing powwow days. More memorable powwow days parade than we had this time?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
That's
one
that, you know, no matter what, I don't think you're ever going to get out of your mind if you were there. You know, like I think you'll forever remember that. It was pretty important. It was pretty awesome.
I think so, too. And we wrapped up the parade with your units going through. And the second most spectacular sight that day beyond that F-35 was that big red thing of yours that wrapped up the parade. My goodness. The tires were as tall as I am. Yeah. I have not seen a piece of equipment that big, in these parts especially, in an awful long time, if ever. What the heck was that red monster?
Yeah, that's our 110 U.S. ton crane. So that's basically what we're out, you know, taking care of our most difficult tree removals every day. It's out working. So that piece of machinery, again, it's 110 tons. What does that mean? It means they can lift at its closest point 110 tons worth of material, which is a lot. So you know, we need to have a certified operator in order to do that. Zach is with us. He's been with us for, it's going on 3 years here. And he's a great operator. As you can imagine, you know, a piece of equipment like that takes a lot of responsibility. But it's been a game changer for us. You know, all these pieces of equipment that we've acquired through the years, and then you look back and say, how did you do it without it?
Yeah.
And this is really one of those. I mean, 200 feet of boom on this thing. So, you know, you can set that up and somebody's, like today we're in Wausau, we're setting up on a street, reaching over, basically a property to get into the backyard of another property that has no access.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the type of, that's what opens up, this crane opens up for us, is it's those really difficult hazardous trees, really difficult areas where you can't get conventional equipment into. And this thing can reach trees 175 feet away from where it sits. And, you know, you hoist a climber up into that tree, and he straps the section of tree, comes down, makes a cut, and that piece gets lifted out. So pretty awesome piece of equipment for us.
Boy, I'll say it was just impressive to look at. Great way to wrap up the parade.
Yeah, it was.
Some of the other floats, I want to talk about those too. You had the float with the legacy trees. We'll come back to that, but let's get into some important stuff right now. It's crud time when it comes to trees. There's a lot of bugs and different kind of maladies that our trees are facing, not the least of which is drought right now. So let's get into a little bit about that. What are some of the critters that are affecting our trees right now, Ted?
Yeah, so, you know, the big thing always, I mean, we've touched base on it a lot through the years. However, it's always really important to talk about oak wilt right now, because right now is when it's really noticeable. So, you know, in the spring, leaves are flushing out, and you're not going to have a lot of decline and noticeable issues with trees right now or in the spring. But this time of year, if you have oak wilt on your property, is when you really start to notice it, because you will have leaves dropping, you know, on the ground. Like, why do we have all these leaves laying on the ground here? You know, that's a symptom. And just look up. Just look up and see what the oak trees are doing. And if they don't have leaves on them, it's like, okay, what's going on here? You know, it's one of those things you want to try and catch as quickly as possible. So oak wilt disease is a fungal infection that gets transferred. The fungus gets transferred by a bug. The bug doesn't do the direct harm. The fungus does the harm. So that's why we don't want to prune a tree right now, an oak tree right now. We don't want to basically open up any living cells, creating sap, because our native sap beetle goes and feeds on that sap, and likely that beetle was just feeding on an oak wilt tree, because they love feeding on what's called the spore mat of oak wilt, and it transfers that fungus to the tree. If you don't do anything about it and you have other oak trees in that area, it's going to kill every tree there.
Eventually.
Every oak tree there.
Yep.
Correct. Eventually. You know, I was on a property lately, and it's unfortunate. You know, it starts with one. It starts with one tree. There's never multiple trees. So it has to start with one tree, and then it spreads to 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 and so on. And it's a multi-year process. It's not like it's going to kill, in this case, 15, 20 trees all at once. It's going to take some time to do so.
Okay.
If you catch it early enough, you can stop it. and you may only lose one or three or five trees. But if you don't, you know, like this property, it's going to change the property. It's going to change the look of the property, the feel of the property. But all of a sudden, there's 17 to 20 dead trees, oak trees, on this property. And it gets to be expensive for that client to remove the trees for stump restoration, and then to stop it to continue spreading. So the biggest thing with oak wilt that we try to stress is to recognize it, recognize there's an issue, and try to stop it as quickly as possible before you have more on your hands and more expense on your hands.
If people have oak trees close to buildings on their property, and they're saying, well, you know what, I'm not so much about the aesthetics. If the trees live or die, that's okay. It's right. Not that big a deal to me. But if you have buildings near those trees, are they going to become a liability to the safety of the building and anybody that might be in the building in case of a storm or something? Are oak trees strong enough? They're going to be there even after they're dead. They're going to be there just fine for a while. How would you address this situation like that?
Yeah, they're going to stand dead for a while.
Okay.
But eventually they're going to fall.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, that's a whole just another situation, another reason try to find it as quickly as possible. Because if we can find oak wilt and stop it, and you're only going to lose one to three trees, you know, that's out of your pocket, not a huge expense. But if it's ignored or not noticed, and it's just let go for several years, you could have a pretty large expense on your hand, along with, because you need to remove those trees eventually,
sure,
because
yeah.
they could hit a structure, hit power lines, who knows what.
Property insurance man may come around and say, you need to do something with those or you ain't getting any insurance on this building.
And that's another case that we're seeing more and more. In the last 3 years, insurance has gotten much more involved with looking ahead of time to say, am I interested? I'm the insurance company.
Yeah.
Am I interested in giving you insurance this year? And they will let you know if you have trees overhanging your property, if you have dead trees that could hit structures, they will not insure you again. They will not renew you unless you take care of those situations.
So bottom line is, if you start to see oak leaves on your lawn, that's an issue this time of the year. Heck, even in the fall, it's sometimes an issue, though.
Right.
They hang on to those leaves. But if you have oak leaves you on the ground, you probably have oak wilt. It's not that expensive to treat it right away, correct?
I mean, it's an expense, but it's not as expensive as if you let it go.
Okay.
And that's the whole point. No matter what, it's an expense that, you know, I've said it for the amount of years I've been dealing with oak wilt, 13, 14 years now here in the Northwoods. It's my least favorite part of my job.
Really?
Is dealing with oak wilt, because people never usually want to lose their oak trees, because oak trees can be nice specimen
right.
trees.
Yeah.
Now, you can't do anything to save the ones that are sick. No matter what, once they have the fungus, they're going to be dead. You can't save them. And then it's just an expense. You know, it's an expense for removal. Again, how do you stop it? You know, that's the next conversation, is you either need to stop it by figuring out which tree. So people may say, well, how does it spread from one tree to another? Because trees of the same species, they root graft together. They share nutrients. They move stuff back and forth. So they're connected underground with their root system. So if you think about it, if one tree gets it in the middle of the forest, that tree is connected to maybe 3 to 5 other trees. So now that tree is going to spread it to 3 to 5 other trees. Now each one of those trees is going to spread it to possibly 3 to 5 more
yeah.
trees. And that's how you get into these declines.
I would think also, if you've got a legacy piece of property where the family has always gone hunting and it's rich with deer because there's a lot of acorns, that legacy property is going to be not worth as much if all of a sudden you don't have any live oak trees.
Correct. I mean, they're a huge wildlife food source.
Yeah.
So that's even like on the property that I hunt, we keep an eye open. Because if we can stop it right away, again, you're gonna isolate that pocket, and it's not going to spread. But if you just let it go, you're going to have a problem.
Better take it serious.
Yeah.
Spruce budworm is another critter that's wreaking some havoc right now, huh?
Yeah, wreaking real havoc, and that's another one that people aren't, I mean, really having fun with at all, especially if you have larger pieces of property. So spruce budworm is a native pest that comes around every 50 years, 50.
Okay.
So it's one of these real strange ones that it's not here for 50 years, and all of a sudden, it's here. And it started over in Marinette County, and it's kind of sweeping its way through northern Wisconsin.
Okay.
You go to certain areas up kind of northeast of here, every spruce, balsam around, hemlock, some tamarack, they're all dead.
Really?
Yeah. And so spruce budworm feeds on all short-needled conifers, which would be the spruce, balsam, hemlock, tamarack.
A lot of us have ornamental spruce trees on our property.
Correct. And so in certain areas, it's wiped out every tree around, every short needle conifer around. So you go into some of these properties and there's just dead trees everywhere. So it's a big concern. Number one, you know, the beautification of the property is being lost.
Right.
Number two, what are you going to do about it? What type of expense is it going to be? Because usually these trees are not really a high desired logging industry tree, because
mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of value, especially with Molsony paper mill not taking pulpwood and pine conifers anymore. So it's one of those issues where something needs to be done, and if something's not done, it's a huge fire hazard, because you can imagine,
sure,
you know, balsam already is such, I mean, it's such a light wood, and just that tinder sitting there, now you have literally some properties hundreds if not thousands of balsam fir trees that are just thick as it can be. It's a huge fire hazard. So, you know, people are trying to figure out, what do we do? So, I mean, we can help with all of that. We have, you know, large volume removal operations that can go in and take care of properties, large properties, with things like whole tree chipping and things that can be done to at least do something with the material, and which does help with the cost of the project. So we can definitely help with that, but also we can help with, if you have those specimen trees that you don't want to be affected by the spruce budworm, we can come in and spray them in the spring for you.
Okay.
You can actually...
Is it too late now?
It's too late now.
Okay.
So there's a product called BT, Boy Tom, that you can go and just get anywhere, and you can spray it yourself in the spring, as long as you can reach the entire tree.
Sure.
You know, I had a client in St. Germain where... He's been doing it the last couple of years, and you can tell exactly how high he could reach with that product.
Really?
Because as soon as he couldn't reach any higher, the rest of the top of the tree was dead or almost dead, but the bottom looked really good. So if you have small trees that you can reach with your own sprayer, then you're good to go as long as you put this BT on it. If you have larger trees, larger specimen trees, that's where we would come in, where we would help and spray for you, because of course we have that type of equipment that can reach, you know, 60, 80 foot tall trees.
I'm going to be looking for that, because if I can't see my blue spruces, I would be very sad. I just love looking at blue spruces after they bud out and they start growing here in the summertime. I just think they're a beautiful tree.
And they are. And, you know, I should just touch base on, you know, how this develops. So right now, if you have balsam trees, look around, you're going to see these tiny little moths flying around. Like last week I was on properties and there was hundreds and hundreds of little moths, you know, flying, because they just emerged. So right now they're laying their eggs. Those eggs are going to be basically in the tree. The little worm is going to get produced. It's going to go hide in bark or something, or the bud of the tree. And then come spring, they're going to start feeding, and they call it the bud worm because it starts feeding on that new growth that is coming out. And what it does is it just strips that tree of all the needles eventually, where the tree can't make any energy for itself through photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when it's done feeding in sometime in mid-June, let's say, then it's done feeding for the year and it gets ready to become a moth again. And so it's one of those things, you need to be aware of it right away. As soon as the needles start opening up in the spring, that's when you want to do that first application, because as soon as those needles start opening up, the worm is going to start feeding. So you need to be on it quite quickly to make sure that you treat those trees right away. And then again, you just need to treat through early to mid-June, and then you don't need any other treatment.
So if they're looking good right now, chances are we're going to be good to go through the summer and the wintertime, but we need to be on our toes come spring.
Yeah, we do. And the unfortunate thing is we don't know when this is going to be done feeding. At some point in time, it's done.
Okay.
Generally,
and we don't have to worry for another 50 years.
Correct.
Okay.
Generally, it feeds in an area for about 10 years within a region. And we were kind of hoping that we were going to be in the original region, but it's continuing on. So it could be here for a year. It could be here for 5 years. It could be done this year. We don't know. But if we want to be preventative, you can at least do one treatment in the spring. You know, then you can just watch other trees that aren't treated. And if you're seeing feeding going on those trees, well, then you know you should continue treatment for that year.
On our last visit this fall, Ted, we want to try to get a checklist together about what we need to be aware of, because we're not going to see all winter time. So we need a checklist about what we need to be aware of first thing in the spring, next spring.
Right.
So let's plan on that.
Okay.
Last topic here this morning, real quick, legacy trees. That was the other thing that really impressed me about your presentation at the parade. When I saw those trees go by, I thought, are those the size that he actually comes out and plants?
Right.
Because I understand then why they have such good success. A lot of us, Ted, we planted a whole bunch of trees on our property, I think five or six, and of the five or six, one survived.
Yeah.
And so we paid, all that money is now wasted, gone. Done. So we've been very seriously thinking about a legacy tree because we want a red maple really bad. We got a couple of nice maples. We want to put that red maple right in the middle. And first of all, we don't want to just buy it and throw it away next spring.
Right.
We want to make sure this thing is going to be with us as long as we're on the property. So let's talk a little bit about those legacy trees. Why do you have such success with your legacy tree program?
Legacy trees were developed by Ron Zillmer, plant root physiology degree, Purdue University.
Does it really all come down to the root system when it comes to this?
99%.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep.
And so if you have a good root system, a positive root system, it's planted in the right location, there's no reason that tree is not going to be successful in that location.
Right.
So his whole idea behind this system of legacy trees, legacy trees is his brand. People say, why legacy tree? It's the brand of his tree.
Okay.
It's the brand that we want people to know, like, I want a legacy tree. Okay. Because that means Ron Zillmer's system produced this tree and produced how these trees are grown and how these trees are planted. So what it is, it's how the tree is grown. It's basically grown out of ground rather than in ground in a, basically a pallet system, we'll call it, where the trees, conventional trees are either grown in a pot, a plastic pot, as almost everybody knows.
Right, yep.
Or they're grown in the field, and then they need to get dug out of the field.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the negative pots? You have circling roots. You have a lot of issues where eventually, because they can only grow so far, so these roots are all growing and circling back around. So to properly plant those, you need to cut those off and kind of get back further, and it really stresses the tree out. Otherwise, if you don't cut them off, you're going to have root-bound issues and girdling roots.
They're always in black pots, too, and so that tells me that's got to be just sucking in the heat and from the sun, and that can't be good for what's inside that pot.
Yeah, and I don't know why exactly black. I mean, of course, you know, nurseries have been growing forever, so
right.
I'd like to hear their reasoning, you know, and it probably makes sense once you hear it, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the container issue. The issue with the ball and burlap is that when those trees are coming out of the ground, they're all having their root systems chopped off.
Yeah.
You know, a majority of the root system.
Right.
So now they go through a stress mode, and there's going to be some mortality because not every tree is going to make it after a root system gets cut. Legacy trees are grown out of ground in a system that they will not hit a wall with their roots and start circling back. And when we go to plant them, we don't need to cut the roots off. So they don't go through a transplant shock. So when we go and put them in the ground, there's no shock that occurs to that tree. They are planted, you know, trees want oxygen. A lot of people don't know this, but they want oxygen as much as they want moisture.
Yep.
So a lot of issues with conventional planting is a tree is planted way too deep. And Minneapolis is having this issue right now where 20 years later, all these trees are struggling and they're breaking because they were all planted too deep 20 years ago.
Okay.
So his system is all about planting the tree without root stress in the upper layer of soil, which is most oxygenated. So when we put that tree there, it thrives. It's in the area where it wants to be with oxygen. Every once in a while, we'll need to stake the tree. Otherwise, because it's in this platform system, we don't even need to stake the tree. It's solid.
Wow.
And it just continues to grow. I mean, we have trees that we planted, the first ones we planted 5 years ago. They're already 30 feet tall in 5 years' time. Now, granted, that also is
That's good. Amazing.
That's also good irrigation. That's a faster-growing tree.
Mm-hmm.
But they're already 30 feet tall. I walked up to it last year, and I was like, did we plant that?
You know,
and the customer's like, yeah, isn't it amazing? And it truly is. So because, again, they don't go through that transplant shock, and we're planting them where they want to be, which is in that upper layer of soil, which is that oxygenated soil.
Mm-hmm.
There's also good microbes in that upper layer of soil. That's more where your good soil is rather than deeper. And now all those roots need to come up if they're conventionally planted the way most people are.
Well, check out Legacy Trees with Foley's Tree Service. That red maple that was on the float, I was hoping that would have my name on it, but we got to call the office and make sure that all happens, because I thought, yeah, that's the tree I want right out in front of my yard, and I hope it's still available by the time we make the phone call here. Ted, appreciate you here all the time, and bottom line is, right now, if we're having these dry conditions, water your trees, but don't overwater them.
Yeah, water, don't overwater. If you have a specimen tree you're really concerned about, we have a great product that helps trees with drought conditions. So, you know, let us know if you have a specimen tree that you're concerned with. Have us come take a look. We can help.
Number to call is 453-2407 for Foley's Tree Service. Put them to work for you, and you know, take care of your property. Let Foley's Tree Service help. 453-2407. See you next month, Ted.
Thank you, Jeff.